White Rabbit, man. Love potion number 9. Makes me think things my mama wouldn't like at all. How about your mama, Andreas?
I think a lot of things your mother wouldn't like, my boy.
What's going on?
You're just adjusting to our natural habitat.
Habitat? What are you, animals?
I guess so.
Hey, this is Lindsay.
This is Mike.
This is Daryl.
And this is also Mike. And you're listening to Forgotten Failures, the podcast where we watch an obscure movie and try to determine if it deserves to be obscure. And this week's movie, I have chosen 1997's Habitat, directed by René Dalder.
Dalder.
Yes.
Dalder.
I believe this movie premiered on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I usually hate sci-fi movies. They're either like generic or they're just exercises in being intentionally bad, but this director seems to be pretty creative and or pretentious. He has a great website, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, we watched the trailer, and now that you say it was a sci-fi movie, it definitely fits that bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It definitely has that feel of, like, it's new enough to have, like, a lot of CGI, mm-hmm.
but not
a big enough budget for good CGI.
Great CGI.
Yeah, because all week I was intending to watch Scarab or maybe Hands of Steel, but then I thought, no, I think we should watch a 90s movie with 90s CGI. We might do better with more 90s movies, so that's what we're going to do.
I like the 90s. But that being said, it looks interesting. I don't know if I'm excited about it, but it just, because it seemed like they used, in the trailer at least, there was like one effect that they used a lot. And I feel like that's going to happen a lot, and it might get annoying.
The sparkles?
But, yeah, there was a lot of sparkling going on.
Yeah, it seems like it's a movie where this is the late 90s, and so CGI was becoming more and more of a thing.
Yeah.
And this is just
more readily available.
Yeah. It seems like they just went gung-ho because they're like, we can afford this. Mm-hmm. It's not very good, but we can afford to do it.
We can
so
afford
not
to do the same thing many, many times.
Yeah.
It was just like Ritalin. In the 90s, it was cheap and easy to get, and everyone was on it, but it wasn't necessarily great.
It was like peer pressure. It was like everyone was doing it, so we'll do it too.
The kids were on it. The moms were on it. Everybody was on it.
Yep.
So we'll see. If the story really works out, though, it could be a forgotten gem from the 90s,
which there
are plenty of.
Right.
I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's about that son of yours. He ran off with my daughter and my car.
I'm sorry to hear that. Had I known, I'd have lent them my car.
Is this the way you've been raising that boy of yours? Huh? Looks more like a breeding ground for bugs. It's all hot, wet, filthy.
Some of us would call it warm and moist, throbbing with life.
Oh, yeah? I spend a lot of time with my boys in the shower, and I teach them that even body odor isn't just smell. It's bacteria.
Okay, we're back. We watched Habitat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Habitat
with my gat.
Make your net snap back.
Although there was no gunfire in this movie. There were some lights that were designed to kill things and some fires, but no gunfire.
Yeah, like little fake bugs that pollen.
Unlike the other movie we saw that was filmed in Quebec, Hollow Point, there was no gunfire in this movie.
Yeah.
No, there was one
gunshot.
Yeah, one gun.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end when Psycho Coach decided that he would shoot people.
Yeah. So I'll go first with my review. I really liked this movie. This movie was very creative. It kept moving. It could have been like 2 minutes shorter, but it was pretty inventive. It was very innovative. I liked the characters, and I liked how it wasn't really a story of like the Earth might be destroyed. It's kind of just a story of what's happening in this town. I liked watching it by myself. I thought it was the best sci-fi movie I've ever seen. Sci-fi channel movie, that is, of course. And Daryl, what do you think?
You know, I think I really enjoyed it too. It had a... It was a very creative movie, definitely something new, and I think would have been pretty unique and pretty like out there for like 1997. I'm going to have to disagree. I think it was like a little longer than 2 minutes long, and some of it was not as necessary as other parts. But overall, I'm glad that it was not you get like this little, you know, rundown of what the world looks like and UV rays and all this other bullshit. I was like really hoping it wasn't going to be a dystopian world where we're figuring all this out. It just kept it to like a small town, or not even a town, a cul-de-sac, like three houses just right next to each other. That's pretty much the entire space of this movie. And like some guy's grotto. It was kind of cool. I mean, you know, the special effects were Well, they were better than what I thought they were going to be. I had extremely low expectations, but they were better use of them than I guess like people in 1997 I thought were capable of. I figured they would just be all out, you know, just all kinds of bullshit everywhere, but more practical effects, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, as we saw in the trailer, the only special effect, the only CGI that is in the movie was that sparkle effect. There was no other CGI, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, but I'd say I would definitely recommend watching it, and you could watch it alone, watch it with friends. It's maybe not quite a forgotten gem or anything like that, but definitely worth your time. But Lindsay, what'd you think about it?
I'm kind of on the same page. I had some struggles, like trying to determine if it was like a movie, like a bad movie that's enjoyable or just a bad movie. Because there's lots of it that just is not good movie making. but that doesn't mean that it's not enjoyable. So I would say that this is a movie that you could watch alone or you could watch with friends. I will say that this movie, it could have been 83 minutes long. It probably would have been perfect at 83, but it's almost twice that long. It's pretty terrible in the length. It's kind of torturous at times because there's just so much shit that's unnecessary. But the world that it builds is interesting, if not kind of fakey feeling. Some of it, especially there's a cul-de-sac where everybody important lives, and it feels like a Twilight Zone set, like neighborhood set, but not a good one. Like Twilight Zone could get away with that kind of stuff because that's what the show is built around. But this wasn't realistic the way that some of the world was built. But then again, it's a fantasy movie. I did like a lot of the practical effects that happened in it, and yeah, this is something that just has enough weird stuff in it that you would enjoy watching with your friends or watching alone. What did you think, Mike R?
I'm gonna play the contrarian here, and I'm gonna say skip this movie.
Oh, damn.
There was some stuff about it. It was just like, I feel like I've seen this movie before many a times, but this had worse acting. And the only difference is, and even that's like, it's happened before where it's basically like man versus planets and the planets striking back, and in this time it's in the form of plants. I feel like I've seen that before too, even though I think that might be like the originality that this is striking. I just kept thinking like back and forth that Starship Troopers came out in 1997 and the bugs and stuff in that compared to this is just like leaps and bounds. Well, I know that you said it's a sci-fi movie, but it's not a sci-fi movie because there's boobs in it and they say fuck a lot. So that's definitely not a TV movie. This is borderline like Skinamax movie. If it just had a couple more nude scenes, that's what this would be. Yeah, I don't really, it just seems like it's like I've seen it before and it wasn't anything great. And the acting was kind of like boring and annoying at times. It wasn't like the worst movie I've ever seen, but it was just like, it's just the movie. It did nothing for me. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
The worst that dragged, for sure.
Yeah, well, as far as the acting being boring, the main character is played by Balthazar Getty, who I thought he was like a teen idol of the time. I guess he wasn't. Does any of you guys know this guy? Because I didn't like him.
Oh, he's actually just they just made him in a lab, like in a 90s lab. He's just Charlie Sheen and
yeah,
like,
Charlie Sheen exactly.
Together.
He struck me as Charlie Sheen in the body of Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, he's a shitty young Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, but hey, before we get into this, let's get into it.
Yeah,
let's do this
with the Mike D. Break.
Okay, thanks guys. This is a story all about how the ozone layer has been destroyed, just like in three of our other recent movies, and people have to avoid the sun, as do other organisms. And the scientist, the French guy, Checky Cario, decides to try to experiment with how humans can be engineered to avoid the sun and become more plant-like, and he uses his son as an experimental subject, and he and his wife and his son go to this isolated house, and he instantly dies because he is, like, swallowed up by the house somehow. And he turns into a bunch of sparkly bugs that fly around and heal people, just like in Transcendence, starring Johnny Depp. Meanwhile, the kid, his son, has moved to a new high school, and the girls love him, and the boys hate him. And the boys challenge him to box, and then the boxing coach, a high school has a boxing coach, challenges him as well. And there's a huge subplot about how people want to box him. And eventually, he beats them all up because he knows kickboxing. And then he goes back to his house, where his mother is going crazy. The house is driving her crazy. She just stays in there all day. She gets more and more high on the mushroom spores. And if he ever leaves the house, he falls in love with this girl who's the daughter of the boxing coach. So there's a lot of, you know, friction there. And eventually they go off and skinny dip, and she gets burned by the sun, and he doesn't because he's been genetically engineered. And then he goes back to the house and finds that the EPA is trying to destroy the house. And eventually they do destroy the house, but the house destroys all of them, and his parents fly away because both of them are made up of sparkles now. And he gets the girl. The end.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so this movie saw, as Mike mentioned, this movie saw a return of, how did you say his name? Check Icario?
Yeah, Check Icario, the French guy who's the tough French guy in all the 90s movies where Jean Reno isn't the tough French guy.
Yeah, and you didn't watch Wing Commander, but he was in Wing Commander.
Oh, I didn't realize that, yeah.
Yeah, he played Commodore Paladin.
Yeah, and as his wife is the Borg Queen herself, Alex Krieg, who puts in a great performance as she gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably one of the best actresses
in
the whole
thing. Yeah, she was one of the few bright spots. Yeah.
She sold it.
Yeah.
And plus, her hair was amazing.
And the young girl wasn't bad either.
No,
her role wasn't anything to shake a stick at, but decent enough for it.
When she needed to deliver, I think she delivered. Usually with her daddy.
Yeah.
Which is more than you can say for like some of the actors.
Eunice!
Fucking Eunice!
Fucking Eunice!
Yeah.
So why are we screaming about Eunice?
Eunice was my favorite character this whole movie.
Really?
Is that the coach's wife?
Yeah, it's only because the coach just kept yelling at her.
I love that coach. He had so many lines just for being a total asshole. They just making him the star in scene after scene.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I wrote a bunch of them down. I spend a lot of time with my boys in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 45 years old and still hard as a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just likes to headbutt things.
Yeah.
He's like Zinedine Zidane of 1997.
Yeah, his hands are pretty much like almost constantly taped and ready to go.
Yeah, this is like, it's funny to say a younger version, but if you've seen Dirty Work, Artie Lang's dad is kind of like the old dying version of this character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the Mandelbaums from that Seinfeld episode. I mean, he always wants to punch people in the face who are 40 years younger than him.
That's good.
This is some like... Biff type.
Yes, very Biff-like.
Old Man Biff.
Yeah.
This is the ongoing comic series, Old Man Biff.
Yeah.
Old Man Biff.
He's just ready to go. And he's, like, pretty spry, too, because when you first see him, you see him at night, and it's his daughter and his... He has a guy that he believes his daughter should be with, and he is, like, the...
Blaine.
Blaine. And he's the head, the leader, the captain.
It's funny they
boxing whatever.
They call it like sports. I mean, they're like, I hope you guys are into sports, but really the only sport is boxing.
That's it.
Yeah. Do you guys remember Airborne? No. There was also the main bully in that was also named Blaine, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's
Blaine's just sucked in.
And there was there was a Marshall version in this movie too, but the Marshall version did not fight in this one.
Yeah. And so the first time that we see this old man coach, his daughter and his daughter's boyfriend Blaine are sitting out in front of his house in a car, and he just walks up, but he just decides to hop over everything in his way on his way over to talk to them.
Yeah.
And he's like talking so much shit to this guy, and he likes him, and because this guy's like, oh, don't worry, your daughter's gonna be with me, she'll be safe, it'll be fine. He's like, she better be.
Yeah.
And he starts punching everybody in the car.
Yeah. And like what? He's got sunglasses on. He's got like boots and like a suede black jacket on. Like he's.
But I think also like sweatpants though.
Yeah. This guy volunteered for all the studies for testosterone drugs. He convinced everybody that he had low T.
Yeah.
He just keeps taking more and more T, and he keeps threatening everybody, every man.
He was a crazy man.
Yeah.
Oh, I think also some women, because he doesn't seem to pick sides.
He's no fan of our protagonist's mother.
No.
He's not even that much of a fan of his own wife.
Yeah.
No.
Fucking Eunice!
Eunice!
Yeah.
We noticed that Eunice seems to have like a strange kind of like discoloration of the skin, like right up around her like hairline.
Yeah.
There's like Harry Potter shit going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, except I'm sure it wasn't magical. It was probably done with a frying pan.
Is that because of the sunlight?
No, I think Coach is just beating
her. Yeah, that's the most, I mean, Occam's razor. That's probably it.
Eunice didn't clean up that mess too quick
Fucking Eunice, the house is a mess!
That's not what I meant, Eunice!
I don't know, because the red-haired kid had a black eye later in the movie, and he had the most extreme black eye I've ever seen done with makeup. It looked like his entire half of his face had caved in.
Well, that's because Blaine punched the crap out of him.
Yeah, which is funny. Only when Blaine punches that kid does, he just, like, his fist just devastate a person's
face. Yeah, well, our protagonist,
face.
Balthazar Getty. What was his name? Andreas, of all things.
Andreas,
he's super powered, so, like, punches don't hurt him. He heals instantly.
He's not super powered.
No.
Well, you're right, but his dad healed him because his dad turned into a bunch of magical healing sparkle spores.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's not like he's he's kind of superpowered because the sun, the UV rays don't burn him like they do everybody else.
He's genetically mutated, which he finds out early in the film.
Yeah, let me tell you, these UV rays, they're for real. Yeah. Like in the radio report at the very beginning, it says the UV factor today is 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like some spinal tap shit.
That's terrible.
It's level black.
Yeah.
Ozone's level black.
It's level kill.
And this is one of those like soon after everything got fucked up movies.
Yeah.
Where
they're still transitioning.
Yeah, because all of the old heads sitting around are like, I remember, I wish I could play golf again. I'd do anything to play a round of golf. Like, they all remember what Earth was like before they fucked it all up.
Yeah, it's like, what was the one that we watched?
Hardware?
No, the other
Warriors
one.
Of the
War of the was it War of the Lost World?
It was in the one that we watched recently. 3000.
Exterminator.
I was like, I wanted to be an astronaut, but there ain't no astronauts no more. No rain neither.
Yeah, where they were still like in a generation where there was a little bit of both going on.
Yeah, they could remember what it was like. What was weird though is they did for people who couldn't really be out in the sun much. They were out in the sun a lot.
Yeah,
it was kind of subtle. Like, you didn't have to hide underground. You could go outdoors. You just had to like dress like a goth, basically.
Yeah, or
umbrella, sunglasses, cool hat, like beret.
There's actually a scene. I didn't quite understand it at first. Probably still don't understand it.
Probably
but
not.
There's a scene, and this is after Andreas hard makes out with what's her face,
Deborah.
Jenny Garth, the lamest club ever.
Yeah,
what's her name?
Deborah.
She looked like Jenny from Society, but this movie she was the bad girl, not the good girl.
Yeah,
but she like just. In the lamest club ever, hard makes out with Andreas in front of her boyfriend. She's like, fuck it.
Yep. Well, she's not her boyfriend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And they make out for like a solid minute, and everybody is just standing there staring while they're making out.
Like, I thought that Blaine was going to like push them apart and start fighting him, but no, he's just like standing there dumbfounded.
He looks like he's going to cry at one point.
Yeah.
Like.
And it cuts to each person watching these people like at least three times.
Yeah, it was like YouTube reaction shots.
Yeah, and it's also cutting to these two kids making out like at least three times. It was really awkwardly long. But so like the next day, like Blaine just kind of lays back, stays silent. He's like cooking up a plan in his head. He's not letting like his anger show at the club because he doesn't want to get kicked out or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, so next day at school, Blaine and Andreas are supposed to do like a spar fight type thing.
Yeah, which we didn't know. I didn't know about that.
We only find this out later.
Yeah, we find this
just
out
an
right
idea
then.
That the coach had. He really wants to see teenagers fight constantly.
Yeah, but it seemed like there was like, it was like one of those like, I'll meet you at the thing at 3 o'clock.
The coach told them to meet each other. I don't even think Blaine threatened them, did he?
I didn't even remember the coach saying that. That's what I'm saying.
I honestly think that it was just like a plot gap and they just forgot to mention that there was a planned fight because. Like,
we didn't find out until the fight was happening.
Because they're not meeting like by the tetherball pole. They're meeting in the gym at the school, overseen by the coach to fight.
It's definitely a sanctioned thing.
Which is also kind of strange that there's just like a sanctioned fight that's clearly like not about like school or anything.
No.
Like it's not about sportsmanship. It's about two kids beating the shit out of each other for an old man's pleasure.
So I guess this is like world building. Like in the post-apocalypse, the only high school sport is high school boxing.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like all of the... So we see Andreas and we see Deborah and Blaine. They're in the hallway. Andreas and Deborah are like kind of being flirty and Andreas is trying to ask her out and she's being kind of coy about it. And Blaine is there and he's like watching, stewing, waiting. And then he and his goons like step off and they seem like kind of like they're not trying to start shit.
Yeah.
And he's actually like covering for some other shit that happened to his one goon friend because he's all covered in bug bites.
Yeah. He got stuck in the
house. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we'll get
so,
into that.
That's a whole
so they disappear through these like three doors that are like lined up.
The hallway
the
is
hallway
like blocked
door.
By three doors.
And so Deborah and her friend leave and Andreas is there just feeling like pretty okay with himself.
Yeah.
And the goons and Blaine walk back in synchronized, open all three doors, walk in, and they're like in total like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle gear.
They look like the Highlander.
They're wearing
broad-brimmed hats, sunglasses, and you think, what is the deal with these guys? But it turns out they're protecting themselves from the sun.
Yeah.
It's like Walker Texas Ranger style.
Yeah, pretty much. And so they take them out to this outside area of the school.
Which I'm assuming is the roof.
Yeah. And
the roof slash altar area.
There's supposed to be like some weird like sundial, but it's a shitty one.
It only goes to 6. It doesn't go to 12 o'clock.
It doesn't.
This is Canada. The sun goes down at 6.
And there's this whole long spiel by Blaine that is
It sounds like a wrestling, like The Rock giving a speech.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
It's like, all right, Andreas, you came into the wrong high school.
Yeah.
Now you got to deal with the sun.
Yeah. When the sun gets to this point, brother, your skin is going to bubble and burn.
Yeah.
When it gets to this point, your guts are going to bubble out of your body. It's called a third degree burn. Ooh, yeah.
That's basically, and that's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah,
that's basically
that is the
line. We never said, ooh, yeah.
I heard, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Look, I'm going to burn out here, all right? I'm going to fry.
Come on, Symes. You remember science class? It's not the heat that gets you. It's those goddamn UV rays. You see, when the sun gets to here, it's going to start to cook the blood plasma right out of your skin. That's a first degree burn. When it gets to here, we're talking about second degree burns. Blisters that swell up and pop when you touch them. Real nasty. Oh, and here. See, here's where the fun starts. Third degree burns. That's when the sun cooks your muscles and your guts. Well, your guts start to bubble like stew.
He's basically saying, like, you know, no one's going to figure this out until you have to come fight me.
Yeah. And this is when we find out that they fight.
Yeah.
Like,
Andreas
doesn't show up and we're like, oh, there was a fight at this time? Okay.
Yeah. Who knew? All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Andreas is doing his best acting where he just does his a Zoolander impression.
Yep.
Like, he's basically Ben Stiller this whole movie from Zoolander.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen as Vince Vaughn as Ben Stiller.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's when we find out that this kid has, the UV doesn't affect him. The UV rays don't affect him as much.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it seems like all of the kids that are at that school are at this fight waiting to watch this fight happen.
And the school's not very big. There's like 40 kids.
No.
Yeah, they got two classes, shitty history and boxing.
Yeah, like everybody in the crowd is people who like don't like fights and are like, does this have to happen? But they're still in the crowd for this stupid coach fight.
Yeah, man, when a fight happens, everyone watches.
I did like, it was a little bit hard to watch, but it was also, Andreas has a friend.
Yeah, I love that guy. Like, Joe Johnson Jr.
Yeah. His friend is his friend because he just lives across the street.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens.
And Joe is super cool.
Oh. Like, yeah, he is the equivalent of Mitchell in Airborne. He has the great floppy hairdo.
Yeah, but he's even cooler than that because his parents are like totally casual. Like, he just like rolling up joints in front of him all the time and they're like commenting on it and stuff.
Eating meat,
drilling
talk about
meat
getting high.
Smoking pot with his mom.
Yeah, Mitchell's like, he's like, yeah, when I go over to Andreas's house, it's like, I get high. It's like, shit. And she's like, oh, are there mushrooms in there? His mom is like, oh, are there mushrooms?
I like how we call him Mitchell. When his name's Joe Jr.
Oh, that's right, Joe Jr. But Joe Jr.
Jimmy Pesto Jr.
So he's at this fight. The coach knows that he is a friend of Andreas, and Joe Jr., Joe whatever, Joe Mitchell, his mom works at the school too, and his mom.
Yeah, she's like science teacher.
Oh, yeah, that's her class we see, where there's great fashion in that class.
Yeah. And his mom had mentioned before to the coach, like, hey, our son's like not into fighting and shit, don't make him fight.
Yeah, he's basically, they're pacifists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and since the coach knows this, and the coach is just instigator number one, he just likes to see people in pain.
Yeah.
Since Andreas is like out, you know, he's not making it to the fight. He doesn't show up. He's like, okay, well, Joe, you can step in for your friend.
Yeah.
And so Joe just takes his beating.
Yeah. It's like the coach is
straight up
to, like,
ass whooping.
Germanic dueling rules. It's like, Joe, you're his second, so you have to step in and fight, even though you have no ability to fight whatsoever, and you're wearing lilac colored corduroy shorts.
Yeah, and like a Hawaiian t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the coach is just a giant bully. Mm-hmm. And the thing I don't get about Joe Jr. is like at the beginning of the fight, he's like, how about I just lie down now and the fight's over?
Yeah.
And then he starts getting punched. And instead of just falling down and being like, yeah, you beat me.
Yeah.
He stays up as long as he can.
He takes it like a champ. He just gets pummeled in the face.
He never gives up, actually, because Andreas then comes in and starts pummeling Blaine.
Yeah.
That's how that happens.
Shit out of him.
And then the coach yells at Andreas for being a punk.
Yeah.
How dare you, sneaking up on a guy?
Yeah.
Using your feet like a pansy.
Yeah, that's such a stupid expression. It's such a stupid exchange. Like, the coach says, you ever box? He goes, well, I kickboxed. Like, you mean with your feet? Well, my feet and my fists. I don't know about that.
Yeah, Andreas.
That's pretty much the whole movie went. Like, that's like dialogue and everything.
Yeah. And Andreas, like, tells the coach the truth about, like, hey, your boy tied me up outside to die. And the coach is like, why are you being a fucking liar? And then the coach's own daughter comes up and is like, no, he's telling me. And then immediately the coach is like, shut up.
Shut it down.
Shut up, Deborah.
Eunice Jr.
Yeah, this guy, yeah. This coach is the guy who buys all those t-shirts that say, you know, rules for dating my daughter. Never date my daughter. I have a shotgun, etc. Like multiple scenes, he just obsesses over the idea of somebody laying their hands on his daughter. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's if anyone's going to lay hands on his family, it's going to be him.
Yeah. And or the world's worst bully, Blaine. I guess he likes that guy for some reason.
Yeah, coach is the kind of guy that has trucks on nuts on his truck.
Or in trucks and on his nut.
Yeah. they actually do talk about it explicitly, because when Deborah makes out with Andreas, there's a scene in her home with her dad and her mom.
The dad
is all fucked up. He's all pumped up because I think Blaine had told him what happened. And he's like, you're making out with this guy, blah, blah, blah. And the mom's getting in on it. Eunice is like, you know, sex between like a married couple. She's like explaining sex is like when you're procreating.
Copulation is different than procreation.
Yeah, this part really reminded me of society, because the adults are like horny and talking about sex all the time. And the teenagers are like confused by this.
A lot of this movie kind of reminded me of Society. In fact, I wrote down, it's Fern Gully meets Society.
Yeah. It really is. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, the character named Clarissa. The main guy's mom is named Clarissa. Just like
Clarissa explains it all.
Yeah, it's true.
What you got, Lindsay?
I was just going to say, to wrap up that conversation that they were having, that the daughter is super fucking honest. And she's like, it was a kiss, Mom. Not like we fucked or anything.
Yeah, like straight up.
Which causes the dad just to blow the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he yells at Eunice because she's a bitch.
Pretty sure he backhanded Eunice for that comment that Deborah made.
Yeah. But yeah,
Eunice, what are you teaching this girl?
Like, all the adults basically are fucking. All the adults are fucking.
Well, all the adults are just the coach and his wife, and then Chuck Icario and his wife, and he disappears into spores at the beginning of the movie, and then
Joe John Senior
and his
mom.
Wife. Yeah.
All the adults.
Yeah, all the adults.
And those are all the adults. And I mean, like, as soon as Joe Jr., like, he's like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with Andres, he's like, okay, cool, son, just leave the weed out. We're and your mom are going to smoke and bang on the terrace here.
He actually says, his dad says, take your time, and then starts immediately macking on his mom.
Yeah. And I mean, macking is a huge, like, this movie is actually like, this movie starts out with some mackin, some early mackin.
Early
as soon
Max.
As
early Max,
titties and mackin,
like
titties and mackin
and titties, mack and titties,
and titties.
What you eating tonight?
We just found our mixtape name. Forgotten Failures, mack and titties.
Mack and titties.
Don't worry, it'll be fire.
It's fire, yeah.
Yeah. Fire, so I think this is one thing that set it apart from normal Sci-Fi Channel movies, which I guess this wasn't one, but I swear it was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
It must have been
a censored
channel.
Version, but everything I can see says it was on there. And, because the director is, you know, he was most famous for this movie called Population One, which is like a sci-fi punk musical. So this movie had these weird elements
He's
to it that you wouldn't expect. It weren't necessary for the plot. These like philosophical elements of like how people behave.
It got into that more than I expected it to for the kind of movie it was, which was not terrible. I mean, some of those parts may have been overlong, but they weren't
like the coach's conversation with the crazy mom. That went on for a while, but it was interesting.
Way too long.
Yeah. Now I feel like they should have, like, my problem was that they should have done more of like the showing and not telling. Like it seemed like it was just like a lot of like, we need to explain this rather than just being like, this is how it is.
And that's
I think
what
that was my biggest qualm
overlong.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like we were treated like we were idiots. And it's just like, dude, come on. Yeah. It's not that complicated.
Like you didn't need to spend an hour of this movie explaining.
Show me
what's happening in this world.
But on the other hand, they didn't explain all that much. Like, why are they moving to this new town? Like, what's going on in this town? What is
the
scientist's goal? They didn't really explain that stuff.
They moved to the new town because that opening shot where the CDC came in, that's where they used to live.
Yeah,
so he did this in a previous house.
Oh, I thought that was like a in medias res where they like started at the very end of the movie and then like back
to
the
a different house.
No, yeah, that was Symes' old house.
Yeah.
And then they moved. That's
which is funny. Like, you see these people go into this house. It's like all, you know, creepy and Fern Gully looking. And like, you know, the cops come out and they're all coughing and dying and shit. Mm-hmm. And then like this guy who becomes like, I guess he's like the antagonist at the end, like EPA guy, whatever
Strickland.
His name was, Strickland, something like that, whatever that guy's name
classic.
Is. He like walks into the house, he looks around, he like looks at some of this cop dying on the ground, he gets some like pollen and just like blows it in a guy who's completely fine space. Like, see, look, they're sick. It's pollen. He just like blows it in this guy's face. So it's like a guy dying of pollen, like right in front of him.
Seasonal allergies.
Yeah.
He's just like, see, that's how little regard I have for human life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
life is cheap at the EPA.
Which explains why Andreas is like kind of okay with the new house that they go to.
Because
it starts to become what the house in the beginning is, which is just this overgrown, like very
Fern
tropical.
Gully. It's like a jungle.
It starts becoming that, and as soon as he sees it, he's like, "I just hope this isn't in my room, guys."
and like, keep it out of my room.
It's really gross.
It's very gross. Slime everywhere.
It's not as gross as society. Imagine it in comparison to society.
Yeah, it's just it's the plant version of society.
Yeah. But it's so in the beginning, the dad, Paladin from Wing Commander.
Yeah.
He's doing his science shit in the basement, and then he just gets soaked in his like wet, gooey, like.
Why the hell was he using an axe to hack down that door?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But so he like that happens. The mom comes home and she's like all worried because she sees something is amiss.
Yeah.
And everything's like wet, and so she goes upstairs.
Everything's just moist.
Yeah.
Honey, everything's moist.
Yeah. She goes upstairs because everything's moist, and she finds out her husband's up there down to fuck. And so she's like, okay. And she like just takes everything off.
Fuck it.
And they start. Since it's like
they
I guess,
this weird foreplay.
Yeah,
it's like they're all sliding around each other.
They fuck like eels.
Yeah, like imagine two snakes trying to bang human style.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically it. It's like they're not really using their hands or arms. Yeah. They're just kind of slithering
around. Slide
around
each other.
It's like dogs trying to do it human style.
And
they're
I mean,
just like not working it.
This foreplay clearly works because
it's working
Clarissa
for her.
Makes and it's working
it.
For him. Yeah. She makes him come so hard he explodes into a million like a swarm cloud of glowing insects.
He evaporates into pollen.
Yeah,
I thought there was. Still involved in the foreplay when he suddenly turned into something.
Yeah,
that's
they were.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to make love to you one last time. And she
early.
Noticed that. He's like, one last time, what? And then he turns
it's
into
like you don't know anything
about
premature ejaculation.
Yeah. He's a preemie.
That's what happens.
Yeah, if you premature ejaculate, you will explode into bugs.
but yeah, like, she, I forget where I was even going with this, because it's just...
So we skipped a little part because the dad, what's his name, Hank, some sort of like slime scientist or something.
Yeah.
So he's
a
doing
slime
some,
assist.
He's doing some sort of experiments in the basement.
Yeah.
And he's you know doing molds and all this stuff and then he starts growing this big thing that looks reminiscent of the beginning of the movie and he takes an axe and just does it and then he drowns in like this weird water.
Yeah, weird water, goo moss stuff.
And he just turns green and like
shit.
It starts a he starts like being engulfed by this like mold and algae. Yeah. And then that's big, like, and then he kind of drowns, and we don't see him again.
It turns glow in the
dark. Yeah, yeah.
He turns into a Busta Rhymes video.
Yeah, for a second. Like, if it just went fisheye for, like, 3 minutes, it would have been the most amazing thing ever. Because just for a second, it just
been like, I'm sold.
Yeah. So they, and what's weird is, like, because you don't know at this point that the dad's, like, bugs or light or glitter or whatever the fuck. And so you're like, oh, he, like, died.
I was thinking because the next couple scenes, the house gets more jungly.
Yes.
I thought he, like, became one with the house,
that
kind
makes
of.
That makes sense. He then like reappears later though.
Yeah,
like,
and that's what threw me off.
Yeah, he like reappears later to like his wife, and she's like, "Where have you been?" Basically,
he's like getting ready for fucking.
Yeah,
that's where I've been.
Well, she's been in the house the whole time, just kind of wandering around.
Yeah, she's a weirdo.
Eating the food and being like
cutting off things off this weird house plant.
Yeah, it's like the Mafu cage. Every time we see her, her hair gets bigger and bigger. She's like any number of Carol Kane characters.
Yeah. And her hair is amazing the entire time. It I is. Just have to say. But so she when the husband comes back and he just kind of like forms like he takes a humanish so he's recognizable, but he's still like this.
Yeah, it's like
he's bug. He's he's a swarm of things. And so she's talking to him and she's like, "Where have you been?" And he's like, "I've been all around." And she's like, "I've been so lonely. Where have you been to love me?" I was just waiting for him just to be like, "We were fucking the whole time. Like, I have this whole house.
I sent some of my sparkles that compose my body into your vagina this whole time."
Yeah, I was really like, I kind of expected her to just like pull off like a cucumber looking thing and just like go away.
He controls the distribution and corporeality of the sparkles.
Yeah, well, the way this movie was like turning and twisting, like I totally expected her to just start like banging like a tree limb
Could
or
happen.
Something weird like that.
Like that, this movie was like on the, it just felt like softcore porn most of the time.
Well, there are two scenes like that.
It's like that, but instead of, you know, how sometimes they'll get rid of some of the dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like
they
got rid of the porn part, but they kept all the dialogue.
That's basically it. Because it's not just
it's
those two
it's
scenes.
It's porn dialogue is what this movie is.
Because it really isn't just those two scenes. There is the beginning with the long-haired guy that turned the antagonist.
That's
before,
Jesus.
Yeah, before he left,
Daryl.
He was like, he was like doing some weird shit with the mom.
Yeah, he was totally giving her eyes. That like they definitely banged in college.
That, yeah, because part of the thing is that like whenever anybody walks into the house, they get really horny. Apparently.
Yeah, but it was kind of selective, and that's what was weird about it.
It didn't happen to the EPA people, I guess, but that's because they were wearing protective outfits.
And it happened to Blaine's friend Daryl, but it didn't happen to Blaine. But it didn't happen to Blaine.
No, not. There is the long-haired guy in the very beginning who's Jesus. Yeah. I guess his name is Eric.
No, that guy's
but he
name
actually
is
Jesus. No, he is Jesus.
Yeah, he's the friend of the father. So he helps him set up the house, and then he walks off to work for the EPA, I guess, who end up eventually becoming the antagonists.
I think he actually worked for them. Yeah, I think they all worked for them.
Okay, guys, about Eric, I have something very interesting to say. And it's not interesting, but it is surprising, okay?
What?
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Tangent here. I looked at the cast members for this movie. 7 different cast members in their IMDb pages have Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes in their filmography. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep, because they're all Canadian. And Eric was Nosferatu in that Nosferatu Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, which really, really scared me as a kid. So I was amazed to find that out.
Oh, wow. Right. I actually remember that episode and remember being terrified.
Yep, it is Nosferatu. Nice. He did not have a ponytail or a beard, so I didn't recognize him, but that's him.
Yay. Right. Go, Eric.
There was like multiple scenes where just people were weird with each other the whole time. When in the beginning of the movie, when they first arrived to their new house, new town, and no one's like dead or like fucking yet. So the dad stays home, to start setting up his experiments and stuff right away.
Start his grow lab.
Yeah. And so Andreas is like, hey, mom, let's get going. And then he, like, I think he, like, pats on the butt to get her going.
Yeah, slaps his mom's ass, which is
a little weird.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, there's no way, like, that's his older sister.
Yeah.
And even then, that'd be
weird
as hell.
Because at the beginning of the movie, we see him and her driving around. They did not seem like son and mother.
No.
They almost seem like lovers.
And the father was in a different car with Eric. Eventually we figured it out.
So, we're still learning the relationships at this time. And so he's like, let's go. And so they go into town to find out, like, you know, what's up in the town. And they go to, like, this weird greenhouse cafe thing.
Yeah.
Where these ladies are sitting, and they are the ladies of the town.
There are three of them.
One's Joe's wife.
Yeah.
The other one is Coach's wife.
Eunice. And the other is inconsequential.
The science teacher is Joe's wife. Yeah, I don't know who the other lady was. That was the only scene she was in.
Oh, that's the one who wanted to bang Andres.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, all the girls are going to love you. I got a daughter who you should have sex with now.
Yeah. But yeah, like the conversation, like when they walk up, Andres and his mom walk up. And it's the way it's shot, because everybody, when they have dialogue, is just shot head on, like singular. Like
it reminded me of a Terry Gilliam movie.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like
Brazil or something.
Way. Yeah. Although nothing funny happens. Like they're all wearing so much makeup. It reminded me of Brazil too.
Yeah.
You almost expect something like a Terry Gilliam movie, some goofy thing to happen, but it never does.
Yeah. It's like a mix between, especially the way that they deliver the lines. It's like a mix between Terry Gilliam and David Lynch.
Yeah,
it's like one of those evils of suburbia things where everybody is slightly exaggerated and overly polite.
Yeah, it has a weird Twin Peaks. Yeah. Like everybody has a weird vibe to them. Like something else is going on, because
everyone's
not welcoming.
A character in themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and the weird thing is that's not them; it's these new people. Yeah. Like, and that's the weird thing is they shoot all the weird, like town folk people like that, but they're the normal people.
Oh yeah, speaking of Twin Peaks, the coach was the same actor who played Dale Cooper's ex partner in Twin Peaks, the really creepy guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I could see him doing that, I guess. Yeah. He didn't punch anyone in the face, which is why I didn't recognize him.
Because Eunice wasn't around.
Yeah.
To get him all riled up.
Eunice wasn't pissing him off.
Yeah.
Yet. Yeah. Yeah. So after this scene, the son walks away and goes into this other room. And this is where we meet Deborah. And Deborah's like pruning some trees or something.
Yeah.
And he just walks up. He's like, can I borrow that? And she's like, what? And he's like, he just picks up a watering can and pours it on a tree.
Yeah.
And he's like
a dead tree.
It's needed help or he said something stupid.
Have I mentioned I'm a sensitive man?
Down below.
Yeah.
He's like, it just needs some loving and caring.
And there's like a weird ghost moment where like she's like, but it's dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, it's not. And he like very like gingerly, like almost like he's about to like cup some man's balls, reaches down and grabs the base of this plant, like, sensually. And he's like, no, look, I can feel it. And then he, like, gets her hand and puts it on, like, on his hand, like, the root of this, like, dying tree.
And from that point on, like, not that the movie wasn't weird up until that, but from that point on, it got, like, progressively weirder.
Yep.
Well, at this point, the guy's in post-apocalypse world. So he moves to this town, and as far as he can tell, this is the only teenage girl in the town. So he has to mac on her with extreme prejudice.
It's not even close.
It still doesn't mean you gotta can I borrow that?
Yeah.
And he has special plant powers, so he has to show them off.
Can I borrow this watering can so I can water this plant of yours?
She doesn't seem to be really into her job watering plants at the cafe.
That is just terrible dialogue. Yeah. Because if you want to water someone's plant, be like, hey, can I help you water your plants?
Yeah,
not like, can I borrow that?
Because usually when you borrow something, you take it away.
Yeah, to go use for yourself.
Yeah, you don't just pour some water on something and put it back down.
You don't go to someone's house and just be like, hey, can I borrow some food to make you dinner and then not eat it and leave?
Hey, can I water your plants, water by which thirsty. I mean your ovaries?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just like a lot of sexual tension. And maybe it is like the whole, like the overtone of like these plant people things. And their spores getting everywhere.
I kind of have the impression that like 20,000 people left on Earth. Maybe that's wrong, but.
No, I think that, like, because this isn't necessary. This isn't post-apocalypse.
It's post-like people ozone layer dying. Disappearing.
Yeah, this is on the brink of apocalypse.
Yeah, it's just harder to live.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, no one really gives a shit yet, because, I mean, like, there's no ozone, no one can go outside, but everyone still drives SUVs.
Fucking boats. Yeah. And they're just, like, leather studding them to protect
them. Yeah, that was a cool thing. I didn't mention that. All the cars had, like, this, like, leather, like, almost like a lead jacket, like, when you go to the dentist and they put that thing on when you do x-rays.
With, like, studs to keep them in place. Yeah. It's actually kind of cool.
It was kind of cool. It took us a while to figure out what the heck, not what it was, but what it was used for.
Like,
but
why?
I guess we figured that the UV rays are going to disintegrate the cars or something. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
another good idea.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
So let's, we talked about, like, the weird, like, sexual...
S&M cars.
even the cars are trying to have sex with things. Have weird sex. So speaking of, like, some weird, not consensual sex that... Because that comes up more than once in this movie. We've explained that Blaine has
Daryl and
a toady.
Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah. So we have there's another, I guess, Blaine's toady, Daryl.
Blaine's
no relation.
They both have floppy hair, but Daryl has the kind of like cut in the middle, like parted in the middle floppy hair, which is like wussier than the other type of floppy hair. Anyway.
All right, I was not aware that there was a level of floppy hairness that is...
Parted in the middle is a sign of weakness. Just look at Sam on Clarissa Explains It All. Like, that guy doesn't know what he's doing from one day to the next. He's very... He has a lot of self-doubt.
I can't argue there. He plays Skull to Blaine's Bolt. That's what he is. He's the guy who finishes the witty comment, but doesn't have one on his own.
Yeah. So they go out looking for Andreas to beat him up, so they go to his house.
Yeah, because they're really into just like beating him up.
Actually, Blaine gets beat up or sucker punched or something, and Daryl goes out on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Daryl's like, you know, he's gonna like, you know, because I guess they really do go by like, you know,
bro code,
Germanic fighting rules, where if your bro gets taken down, you got to go pick up the mantle and beat up the guy who beat him up. So he goes to Andreas's house and he meets his mom, who. She's free balling it like she's been pretty much since her she made her husband come so hard he exploded.
She's wearing like a silk nightie,
like just a see through. Yeah. Like her nippies are on show.
Yes, it's like a Bonnie Tyler video in that house with more plants.
So he's just like walking around her house, getting a little high off of everything. Mm-hmm. And at first, he's just there to like beat up Andres, but I guess somewhere during the time, he decides he wants to start trying to mack it with. Andre's mom,
Who wouldn't? But he gets like really rapey about it. Like, not necessarily like, hey, what's going on?
Like, if you thought Andres was bad at hitting on people, Daryl just
because she keeps saying like various forms of no, and he takes that and like one of the things he says is like, she's like, you know, you wouldn't want to mess with me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that sounds like an invitation to me.
He
gets really fucking creepy with it. Yeah. Like, he's just constantly like, I don't care
up
what you want.
Ante.
We're having sex.
Yeah, because he gets mad because she's being condescending.
Yeah.
She's like, little boys try to sneak into the house of an animal. They end up on the wrong end of the food chain.
And he's like, oh, so you want to eat me?
Yeah.
Like, I'll eat you.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't say that.
No.
No, he sees himself as the one who has eaten in that scenario. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole scene was just weird.
And then he runs away after the bugs that are the guy's dad sting him and cause a bunch of welts on his face.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was. Maybe just allergic.
I guess that was dad protecting his own.
Yeah, some sort of allergy thing. He basically just gave him like hives.
Super histamine powers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Super histamine.
Yeah, Deborah's dad, Jack Marlowe, Coach Punch You in the Fucking Face.
Yeah.
He handles things by punching you in the fucking face.
Yep.
Andre's dad just kind of swarms you and, you know, like gives you slight abrasions.
Yeah.
He gives you post chicken pox scars.
Oh, man. Yeah, and this is a reoccurring theme of people going into the house and like trying to fix it or fight people. Or fuck the mom. Yeah,
Coach. For anyone under 20, the goal is to fuck the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Blaine comes back and he tries to do it, and then the coach comes back, and the coach and the mom have a couple of interesting, like...
Yeah.
The coach is older and wiser. He's like, I've seen witches like you before who try to seduce people. I'm going to tell you that you're a filthy whore who's ridden with fleas, okay?
Thanks to 40 years with Eunice, his sex drive is basically non-existent.
Yeah. And she keeps trying to... gross him out by talking about like dust and skin and
all of different molds and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Coach has this really cool quip where he goes, I'll flake your skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he does this thing where he lifts his shirt up and says, this is like, he shows off his abs.
45 years old and still hard as a rock.
Yeah.
Which 45?
49, he said. But even still, that's pushing
49? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not believing that for a second.
No, me neither.
That guy's like 65.
Yeah, yeah. It was just ridiculous. And then they get a fight. And this whole time where they're arguing, he's getting like the allergy thing. So he's like, goo is just coming out of his mouth and nose, and he's sweating.
His whole face is just...
And he's just like sweaty and gross. He just looks like he got dumped in some slime. Like he just got back from Nickelodeon.
Yeah, he just got slimed.
Yeah.
But they didn't have enough like green food coloring, so you just see what actually looks like, which is just semen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that stuff was on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You didn't know that?
You didn't?
It's just green semen. Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, they got a big staff.
It was Slimer semen.
Slimer semen.
What do you want?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so he gets outclassed by the wife and her spore husband, and then he immediately gets home, and he's like, calls the...
Fucking Eunice!
Yeah. Fucking Eunice!
Then he gets the phone, and he's like, give me the Center for Disease Control. No, I don't want the police. The Center for Disease Control.
God damn it, Eunice, clean up this house!
And Eunice is like, she knows that something is coming for her tonight, because she's immediately on the floor cleaning.
I didn't think there was a mess there. She was just cleaning.
Yeah. God damn it, another witch tried to seduce my husband with disgusting results.
So they call the CDC, and this brings us to like during this whole time, Andreas and Deborah kind of go off on this like weird sex grotto tour.
That was
such a fake location, that waterfall they went to. It looked like something from Adventures in Dinosaur City.
So they go off and they disappear for about a half an hour.
And then
the house is it's full jungle mode.
Yep.
And the CDC comes. And
Jesus returns. I mean, Jesus Eric returns, comes back.
Yeah, it's Easter.
It's Easter. So.
And the house is becoming more, like, it's jungly, but it's also becoming more fleshy.
Yes, it's definitely looking, like, there's things that are now looking like intestines.
Yeah, it's not just green vines, it's pink vines, a.k.a. tentacles/intestines.
Yeah, it's getting gross. It's getting more society-like.
Yeah. Oh, and after, I think it's after Deborah's dad leaves, Andres' mom is laying back, and she's just like all fucking open, like open air, like everything. Yeah. And in Swarm Husband comes comes by, and he's like, "Are you ready?" Like basically,
that was weird.
And I put she's the Swarm like all, Barry White music on.
Yeah, she's like all about it, and he like gets all in her orifices, like all of them at once with his swarm, and then
penetrate me with your hive mind.
Yeah, and she becomes, essentially, she becomes a swarm person.
When does she turn into a swarm? Because, like, the last second of the movie, she and her husband fly away as a swarm. I didn't notice when she became the swarm.
I think it was during that scene.
Yeah.
No, she got swarmed after Coach shot her, and she died.
Oh.
I think she became a swarm, and then that was her dying, because, like, he died, and then he became the swarm.
Yeah,
so I think the gunshot is what...
Yeah, I'm wondering if he infected her, because I think that he got infected and then he died and became a swarm.
Maybe. I think when Chikatilo heals heals his son's girlfriend by like flying around them to heal their skin and stuff, but his wife is dead, so the only way he can heal her is to turn her into a swarm.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I know she got shot.
Oh, yeah.
If that's not an infecting scene, then we watched like just a bug sex scene.
Yeah.
Well, I know we watched that.
We watched what, like quadruple penetration?
Both ears as well.
Supoopdrule.
Yeah. Because it's like ears, nostrils, mouth. And like there's like three holes potentially under on your underside undercarriage.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, skinny dipping. Deborah and what's his name, Andreas. Apparently, they are in the sun for a long time because we cut straight from them being extremely erotic to stuff happening at the house for like half an hour, and then when we cut back to them, they're driving in a car and her skin is beet red.
Yeah, she looks like a lobster.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoops, sorry. I guess you didn't notice. I guess the lovemaking was just that good. You didn't notice you were developing the world's worst sunburn.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's so bad, like, her eyebrows are gone. Like, it's just like,
she
turned into powder.
Yeah. It's the middle of the day. Like, she should know better.
Yeah, she
honestly.
Should know better. And she did know better because she said, I don't care, like, when they were leaving in the first place.
And, the music throughout is, like, very cheesy. Like, it's very it's exactly what you would expect.
There is one Crystal Method 90s. Song in the movie.
Yeah. But during this lovemaking scene in the grotto, it's especially just like lovemaking music cheesy.
Yeah. I would have preferred some R&B music like in Airborne.
Yeah, because I mean, like, this also has some of like the worst synth music ever.
Yeah,
like it's the laziest synth music. It's like a loop that is embarrassingly short. I mean,
yeah, it was like three notes just going back and forth.
Yeah, just like think like synth guitar from like Genesis, like Sega Genesis, 16-bit style. Just like, but the shortest possible loop. On repeat for like 20 minutes. That's the remix version because it's so much better.
In the end, the mom and the dad, they do both turn into swarms and they do their same like sex move thing, but as swarms, and they're just like fucking in the air and everywhere now.
Yeah, they're just fucking everywhere. It's like, next time you sneeze, that's because you just got fucked on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just say like, they like heal her up and he's like, oh, hey, I want you to meet my parents. And they like, their faces kind of materialize, you know, Lawnmower Man style in
for
the swarm.
Minute,
and they're just like, oh, she's really pretty. Oh, you guys have fun now. We're going to go off into the wind.
Yeah.
And fun!
Yeah, like you always hear that like every breath you take has like certain number of molecules or breathed by Richard III. The same is true for this pair of parents' sex swarm.
Yeah.
One thing I wish that they would have touched on is I wish that the parents or they would have addressed maybe they could make the Deborah girl have no UV hurt.
No, the dad did swarm around her and fix her skin.
Well,
no.
he healed her, but he didn't like give her the preventable.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that part of it is the reason why their kid had it is because from birth, he was genetically modified.
He was like a test tube baby.
And I think that like the idea behind what they were doing with like their experiments and shit.
Do you think that like his kids would then have it, like inherit it? Like some sort of like gene that's going to, because there's that whole like
the idea is to
potato
evolve into
famine
something else.
Allegory that they have earlier.
At the beginning, Eric is like, you know, you got to protect your kids nowadays and you know, you got to give them everything you can. Chucky Cario says, oh, you have no idea what I've given my son, which is to be magical
moment.
Mutations.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eric decides, well, I'm leaving.
Okay, that's my cue.
Yeah. That's
I'm going
to
hit on your
never,
wife
ever
now.
Come back here. And, you know, there's one other thing. Like, you know, when the CDC or the EPA, when they're inside of the house and the coach decides to follow them in there because I have no idea why. He, like, just decides to suit up and go into the house with the EPA who are there to, like, catch Mr. Symes to, like, fucking punch the house to death.
He went in there because fuck Eunice. That's why he went.
Fucking Eunice got him all worked up.
He just had to get out of the house. Couldn't stand to be home.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you, Eunice. I'm going in.
Tuna casserole again? Fucking Eunice.
Eunice. We skipped one thing before, in between, like when the mom gets swarmed and then they go off and have swarm sex in the air all the time. There's this whole part where there's a showdown between Hank as a swarm and the CDC guys. And Jesus, Eric, is trying to talk him down. And he's like, no, blah, blah, blah. They basically, he says, I'm not backing down from this.
Yeah.
And then the CDC unleashes this like Ghostbuster type of thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They trap him in a little cube.
Yeah, and they Ghostbust his ass. And then, but how does he get out of there?
Oh,
I completely forgot.
Eric shoots the containment thing, and then they like it's that's why I say Eric is Jesus. Because like after all the CDC guys dies, he's just like, oh fuck it, you're gonna do whatever you're gonna do. So he just like releases him, and then his swarm face comes up for a second, and like they like kind of look at each other like friends again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he just like goes off.
There was so many
Eric
weird explosions
away.
Going
There's
on.
There's a
at
lot
that point.
Happening at the end of the movie.
So what was it with him being made up of bugs? Because first the coach said, it's like a bunch of bugs are flying around me. And then the CDC comes in and they're like, okay, this is how we deal with a bunch of bugs. We have like the world's biggest bug zapper. But he's not really made up of bugs, is he? And yet he responds to the bug zapper.
I think that they were just calling them bugs. I think it was just some weird particles.
It's what they knew.
Yeah, I think it was just something to make it like, hey, he looks like bugs. Yeah, he does look like bugs. So he's bugs now.
The CDC doesn't deal with crazy light particles. They actually deal with bugs. They have to control mosquitoes because they control dengue fever and stuff.
Yeah, it's the same as like when the ancient Egyptians used to think that the sun god used to put the sun on a boat.
It's exactly it's like that.
They don't know what to explain. So
they use what they know to explain the
it's
things
like,
they don't understand.
We know boats move things, so the boat moves the sun around.
Close enough.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
looks about right.
Yeah. I think that the dad tries to explain it after he's taken a swarm form, whatever
swarm
it is.
Swarm form.
And he has that talk with his wife where she's like, where you been, motherfucker? I've been needing some love.
Yeah, I've been bopping these mushrooms off the side of this tree over here
that's
growing in our house.
These apples. And so he's like, he's trying to explain like what he is. He's like, I'm light. I'm the wind. I'm like everything. I'm everything all.
I'm the alpha, the omega.
I'm free.
So I think he's trying to kind of explain. I think that it's supposed to be like an energy type.
Yeah, he's like moved on,
transcended.
Like in Transcendence, the Johnny Depp movie. Except instead of nanobots, he's a mysterious swarm of something.
But yeah, I think he's supposed to be some sort of like higher being at this point.
And when he's in swarm form, he's talking, but you can't understand what the hell he's saying because it's totally echoey and metallic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
a lot of reverb going on.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying shit anyway.
Yeah.
No one was saying anything important. The only person saying anything important was Deborah's husband.
Was Coach Badass. I'll flake your skin.
Yeah.
I'll flake
this your is skin. The womb of the queen bitch.
Whore.
Eunice.
Fucking Eunice.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Did we pass the Bechdel test here, guys?
I don't think we did. Because I think the only... Deborah has a friend. Oh, by the way, I guess a little postscript to this whole thing. Joe, who I have to put in best sidekick ever.
Oh, yes.
At the
so
end.
Chill.
Better than Wiley? Come on.
Well, this guy, Joe Jr., is like Mitchell in Airborne. And there is actually a kid who looks like Wiley. It's the guy with the giant black eye.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. They do basically like fulfill those exact same roles. Yeah. But like Joe Jr. is just this cool shit. He's, like for whatever reason, Blaine, I guess when Andres finally gets back to his house after, you know, fucking in this grotto, Blaine decides he's going to, like, sneak attack him again because he really just wants to fight him. I have no idea why fighting is such a big deal. Yeah. But, like, either way,
he's absorbed a lot of his dad's testosterone cream and roids through using the same bathroom.
Yeah, but that's not his
dad. That's not his dad.
Oh, his friend's girlfriend's dad.
Oh, wait, but he did say that they shower together a lot.
That's
so
true. Yeah, that's right. You know. That's right.
And T does wash off.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Joe Jr., I guess he's playing like, you know...
Blaine attacks Andreas.
Yeah,
Blaine attacks Andreas, and Joe Jr. like sneaks up on Blaine and just like 2x4s him in the face.
Yeah,
and it's,
like Hacksaw Jim Duggan style.
Yeah, it's cool as shit.
He's
and then
fucking
he's just like,
rad.
He's like, yeah, go get your parents, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's talk about that attack. Like, so after Andreas comes out from the being attached to a dumb sundial outside, and he comes and beats Blaine.
Yeah,
and the coach is like not believing Andreas at all, and Blaine is all pissed off. He's like, "You're not going to do anything about that, coach." And he's like, "Well, if you want something done, why don't you do something about it?" And so Blaine takes off with his Goonies. Andreas is looking for some clothes and like the lost and found, so he can fucking go home and with some dignity, And so Blaine and his buddies come through. They pick him up. They put him into the shower. Turn the shower on like hot. Take a steel,
a wire brush,
like something you'd clean like a barbecue with.
Yeah, they take a big wire brush and just start brushing all over his abdomen and chest until he's bleeding.
Yeah, he's straight up bleeding.
And just letting the water run over him while like hardcore scrubbing this brush on him for like a good 30 seconds to a minute.
They give him the old curry comb.
It is.
Oh my God.
It's one of the most like it's the most graphic scene I think in the movie, and it's like hard, like these guys are just fucking savages.
In Airborne, like, all they do is deprive him of a locker and then make all the toilet paper wet when he's using the bathroom.
This is some serious hazing. Torture stuff.
This is just straight up committing crimes.
Like this isn't even like you couldn't even not that hazing is light or acceptable anytime. This isn't even hazing. This is just straight up like
it's half,
you know,
Airborne,
Gitmo
half
the
class
stuff.
Of 1999.
Like, they're basically trying to disfigure this guy for life.
Yeah,
sure that would actually, for real, cause, like, scar.
Yeah, they would have scarred.
And, like, in their minds, they're doing something that would cause him
they're
great
branding
pain.
Him. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't have, like, you know, a super swarm daddy, you know, to go fix all of his wounds.
Yeah, little do they know, his dad is a swarm of stem cells.
Oh, and just like Airborne, the two sidekicks, like the girl sidekick and the boy sidekick hook up as well.
Of course they do.
So that was cool.
That girl with the frizzy
Joe
80s Jr. hair.
Yeah,
Joe Jr. and
she doesn't.
Deborah's girl.
Yeah, she had that teen witch sidekick hair, that top fat girl hair. Yeah. She got that like it's awesome hair too. She's
it's
got
great.
Like that big.
It's the hair you have.
No. She's got like this like if Alana had it's like if Alana from Broad City had even bigger hair.
Alana from Broad City was in the year 1990.
Yeah,
that's like what she would look like.
Yeah. But it
frizzier.
Very, very curly, like tight curl hair.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But like white girl tight curl hair.
Chewy hair.
Yeah, chewy hair.
Let's just say what we're all
saying. I know, right? I've stepped around it. I've danced around saying that. But if you're going to say it.
I'll say it.
Chewy hair. She's runner-up for best hair in the movie.
Oh, yeah. She definitely, she's, I wouldn't say right behind, but she's up there with Andres's mom.
Yeah,
because that hair was.
And of course, of course, the guys all have the best. Some of them have the JTT hair. Some of them have the parted in the middle hair. But they all have floppy hair.
It's the 90s.
Ever done any boxing, son?
Not boxing, really. More like kickboxing.
Kickboxing? Oh yeah, you mean like with your feet?